Tape recorder. Thought for today. A winner only knows what he can do. A winner only knows what he can do. A winner only knows what he can do. I've been going through many of the sayings by famous people, little sprichwort that they say and little ideas that they have. They're very, very nicely done. But all of them seem to have an emphasis on the negative. Like, for instance, this phrase was different. It said, someone with a winning, well, in other words, what he cannot do. He knows what he cannot do, and he does not go and do something he cannot do. And I thought that was kind of short-circuiting it. A winner only knows what he can do. Now, what is it that you and I, as winners, know that we can do? Is there anything we can't do? Is there anything in the universe that we cannot do? If there is, then we have a problem. Because number one, we created all those things. Well, Herb, yes, you talk a lot about your God, and you're the creator of your world, and you created all these things and all that sort of stuff. But when you get down to it, there are a lot of things we can't do. Little children can't cross the street by themselves. Adults have to drive within the speed limit. They can't drive anything they want to do. And we can't just stuff anything down our gullet and not have it affect our body. Oh, really? A little child can cross the street by himself. He may do it dangerously or he may do it wisely, but a little child can cross the street by himself. We can drive any speed we want and suffer the consequences, of course, if we are in an area where there's a limit. We can eat anything we want. We can shove it down our throat if we have the right mental attitude. And also, if we realize that it is not going to be fattening if we don't want to be fat. You see, everything we do, we can do it. We are so accustomed to putting the rules in front of ourselves to say we cannot do certain things. You cannot tell a lie. I cannot cheat. I cannot steal. I cannot, well, bully, bully. You can do anything you want to do and suffer the consequences. I can tell the truth and suffer the consequences. I can be a wonderful, joyous person and suffer the consequences. I can drive harmoniously with all the drivers on the road and suffer the consequences. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible, thinking in a positive frame of reference? We are so accustomed to being negative that we don't even realize that we're being negative. We're not really being negative, but to take the contrary point. I can't, where we can say I can. Now, what can you do? You can do anything. What do you choose to do? You choose to do those things that are beneficial to you, that are harmonious for you, that are wonderful for you. That's what you choose to do. Now, if you don't choose to do it, then you have a problem. Now, this morning, Ingeborg spoke up and said, I would like to make my own scrambled egg. And at that moment, Sylvia said, but I'm the cook, I make the eggs. And so then at that moment, I thought, hey, we don't have an attitude like that. If somebody wants to do something special, we say, hey, great, go ahead. But if you say, that's my job, then it's not your job. So everybody is making their scrambled eggs this morning. And everyone's making their scrambled eggs this morning, and every time we do something, it's going to be like, well, hey, that just makes it easier on Sylvia. She doesn't have to cook so many eggs. No, it doesn't. That's harder on Sylvia than cooking, because it is taking something away from her. It is taking away control. And you see, when we lose control, then we feel very unhappy. Now, all of you, from time to time, do something stupid. Now, this morning, Ellen left the lights on in one of the buildings. And because Ellen is the boss, she is supposed to be certain that the lights are always turned off, be certain that when the campus is put to bed at night, everything is in order, and everybody is in order, everybody's in their proper place, doing their proper things, being their proper selves. Now, does she do that? No. She cares about herself, she takes care of herself, but she doesn't look around at the other things. Herb, you're putting all this on tape that's going to go out to all the people. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, to illustrate, this morning I said, Ellen, who's the boss? And she, of course, admitted she was. And I said, well, there are lights on in the Shangri-La. And she says, oh, okay, I'll go turn them off. Well, now, what should a boss say? The boss will say, oh, okay, Sylvia, you go turn them off, or Ingeborg, you turn them off, or John, or Anita, or whoever you wish, but not you. You see, the boss gives instructions. The boss doesn't do the things, because if the boss does everything, you don't need the people. You follow that? If the boss does everything, he doesn't need any employees. So Ellen is learning to be a boss, to give instructions to other people. Well, Herb, why are you putting this all right out here in front of everybody? Well, a winner knows what he can do. Now, Ingeborg, for months, has been sitting in our morning meditation services here and talks, and has slept very soundly, just thoroughly enjoying our presence in her meditative sound asleep. And so I said, Ingeborg, when you are concentrating on something, you don't fall asleep. When she gives her morning talk, it is glorious. She's wide awake, filled with life, spit and vinegar. But the minute somebody else gives a talk, she falls asleep. Not because they're boring her, but because she's boring herself. She has no need to keep herself active. So we've given her the job of doing the sewing that she likes to do. And so during the morning talk, she sews. You may have seen many women who go to activities and they take their knitting along. They bring it out of their purse and they're sitting clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack-clack, and they're knitting away a storm. And then there's some men who do this too. Some men who have taken up crocheting and knitting because it's a very intricate and a very demanding activity, and so they put there, a man knitting and crocheting? Gracious me, what a pimp he must be, you know? Well, who says that? Some person who has learned by their mommy that boys do this and girls do that. There's not one single thing on this earth that a boy can't do, that a girl can't do, and that a girl can't do, that a boy can't do. Everything. Everything that either or can do, either or can do. But they don't. I'm proud of the fact that Mother taught me how to use the washing machine. We didn't have a dryer in those days. You had this roller, you put it through there and you squeeze the moisture out and then you hang it up the line. It's called a wringer. And then we got to the day when we didn't have to have the manual wringer. You know, you didn't have to use one hand to turn it and the other hand to feed it through. It was on a motor. And then you put it in there and then zip, oh, through your fingers sometimes go in there too. But you learn quick to feed it properly so your fingers don't get in there. But you can do it. And Mother taught me how to cook. And I was a better cook than my wife, because she didn't learn how to cook. Her mother always said, you practice your music, practice your music. So she never really did any cooking. And she never did any dishes either. But I had to teach her how to do the dishes and how to cook. But she learned quickly, and she enjoyed doing it. You see, there's nothing just for boys or just for girls. There's for everybody. We can be a winner in everything we do. Every time I turn something to Ellen, she takes a moment to think about it, and then she turns it into being a winner. And she comes forth fantastic. Now, do each of you act upon things that quickly? Do each of you, instead of saying, why are you moving me here? Why do I have to change my room? Why do I have to move from one of my retreats to another retreat? They're both all the same. You know, what difference does it make whether I'm on the end or the middle of the sun? Well, because we like to move things around. We like to give you the opportunity not to be attached to things. Interesting? In fact, we may be doing that shortly. Right, Ellen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. Because we just like to give you a chance to change a little bit and not be possessed. But I can't do that. I've got everything all set. I've got my pictures on the wall just the way I want them. I got this. Hey, move to another room. You'll put your pictures on the wall just the way you want them, but maybe with a new direction. Maybe you won't put up some of the old things that had old memories for you. Now you put up some new things that have new memories for you. Instead of putting a picture of your mother up on the wall and throwing darts at it, you put a picture of your sweetheart up there, you know. You put a picture of me up there and throw darts at me. But you should be open to change, open to new ideas, open to new experiences, open to new challenges. When I said to Sylvia, said to all of you, okay, everybody's going to make their own scrambled eggs this morning. Sylvia said, wonderful, hey, all I got to do is make mine, and I can make mine just the way I want them with all the stuff that makes the eggs look gray by the time they're done being cooked, you know. And I like the eggs to look yellow while they're, you know, on my plate. But when you put so many spices in there, you put so many herbs in there, and you put so many things, and they're wonderfully healthy eggs for sure. But I like eggs in au naturel, you know, as normal, as yellow, and beautiful as they can be, with the yolk just yolked up inside. Okay, a winner knows what he can do, and he's not disturbed by what he chooses not to do. Now, is Sylvia going to say, I'm cooking everybody's egg this morning, I don't care what Herb says, I'm going to do it? If she says that, what do you think might happen? She's going to be very unhappy because she's going to cook everybody's eggs and everybody else is going to cook their eggs and there's going to be a hell of a lot of eggs on the table. And that's not always a desirable thing. We have to learn to flow with the program. Learn to flow with how things are. It's a wonderful thing. A winner is never touched by anything around him that doesn't lead him to the winner's circle. What is the most wonderful thing about a person when you see them speaking to an audience? Is the most wonderful thing what they have to say? Is the most wonderful thing the clothes that they wear? Is the most wonderful thing the manner in which they conduct themselves superior to the audience? Now, you will listen to what I have to say. I have something to give you. Or do you fall in love with the charisma of the speaker? The manner in which the speaker presents himself, the way in which he speaks, the charm that he has, the unaffectedness that he has, the lack of superiority, the lack of thinking that he's good. Hey, I'm not going to tell you anything new. I'm just going to tell it to you in a little different way from my point of view. Because you know everything already. There's nothing new under the sun. I can't tell you anything new. But I can tell you my way of looking at it. This morning when Anita was telling us about her little black book, which is her blessing book, and it's a big black blessing book, and she's writing in it. And she told us when she was first starting out in writing how her teacher had said she should write. That's her talent. And she took it to mean that she should learn how to write with all the proper grammar and all the proper phraseology, which is good too. But you see, the grammar and the phraseology is like a speaker. The grammar is like wearing proper clothing. The phraseology is like speaking correctly. using the proper diction and so forth, you know. And there's no magic there. There's no magic there. And until you get to the magic, you put the grammar in there, you put the phraseology, but the magic is what gets to it. And then that's your charisma. That's the magic of you, the ideal of you, the wonder of you. That's what people come to hear, the charisma of your ideas, how you put it together. When Abraham Lincoln gave the short Gettysburg Address, people were stunned. They were stunned by the magic of his words and the impact of his words. Gently spoken, naturally spoken from one human being to another, whereas the politician had harangued for several hours before him, and the people were thrilled and applauded the politician because they understood what he was saying. He said, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this. I'm your politician, I'll take care of this, and I'll take care of that, and I'll take... Which he didn't do, of course. And Abraham Lincoln stood up and said, these grounds are hallowed by the men who have given their life here on these battlegrounds. And we honor these grounds. And he went on, I'm not saying what his exact words were, but I'm paraphrasing him. But the magic that was in his voice, the magic that was in his heart, the magic that was in his soul, he let it out. And it's called charisma. And the people drank in deeply of the nectar of his genius. You can do anything. You can do anything, you can share anything, you can write anything, you can talk anything. When you be yourself and have fun, when you let that inner joy of you shine out and not feel sensitive by it, not feel hurt by it. You see? Now, Ellen could well have said this morning when I said, the light is on, who left the light on? But you see, it's not the question of who left the light on. It's the question of the light must be turned off. And it's just a matter of jumping in the golf cart, running over there, turning it off, and coming back. But it's a matter of what can you do? All right, now, before we begin our lecture today, we're going to do all of these things. Ellen, you're the boss. So now, I want you to vacuum the floor. I want you to turn off the lights in the Shangri-La. I want you to go up to the monastery and start the coffee water. Nobody's drinking coffee these days. I want you to do all the things. So Ellen says, all right, I'm the boss. I must do that. So she rushes out and she does these 10 tasks. Whereas if she had spread the 10 tasks around the 10 people or 5 people or whatever, they would have been done more quickly, more beneficially, and more harmoniously. And then you know what would happen? Then as the days go on, instead of having them to do just before the meditation begins, they would be done. Because you can do them. It's just a matter of thinking ahead of time about these things. And then, that's wonderful. Now, Ellen, she doesn't feel overwhelmed by this. She feels, hey, very good. I would have gotten around to doing it just that way if I had had time to think about it. But I did her thinking for her. And she did it with charm. She says, I'll go. And she came back, I did it. Couldn't get in the first door and got the second door. She made a harmonious experience out of it. Oh, that damn door wouldn't open. I took it to Pippa-Dibu, and I got around to the big door in the back. And boy, that is a monster thing. That's heavy to open. But I got in, and then I had to figure out where the light switch was now, because there were light switches all over the place. Now, which was the one that you turn off? Oh, my goodness, goodness, goodness. And she could come back and we could all feel very sorry for her and say, hey, you know. But she came back filled with joy, filled with happiness. Her heart was not overburdened by the fact that she had to go do something that was not heinous, but limiting, time-consuming. But you see, we can do all these things. We can do all these things. Now, Anita, do you know how to knit or crochet?
I sure do.
You sure do?
I can't do anything.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I think next time we go to town, we'll buy some knitting needles and some yarn, and we'll have a few lessons. Who knows how to do this? Who has experience? Ingeborg, are you a knitter?
No.
You said yes?
Yes.
Oh, then you can teach us all how to knit. And so what we'll knit is some squares. We won't knit anything significant. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the needles, stitch, long needles, you know. And we'll knit some squares. And you see, then during my talks in the morning, you'll each have something to keep your hands busy and keep your mind busy while you're listening to me talk. And it'll keep you all wide awake and filled with life and filled with joy and happiness and all that good stuff. Now, it is true, I do not let you fall asleep very often. But occasionally I fall asleep and then you fall asleep too. There can be boring topics that we allow ourselves to think are boring, but they don't have to be boring. They can be filled with joy and harmony and peace and happiness and all sorts of good stuff. And you know, it does work. It does work. We can do anything. We can do anything and have a ball at it. When you realize that you go to the theater, and here's Mama in the theater, and it's dark, and she's watching the movie, and she's got her fingers working on her knitting in her lap. This happened years ago more than it does today. But she'd be sitting there knitting in her and watching the movie, and then the movie would get exciting, and she goes, it's exciting, and she doesn't miss a stitch. She doesn't, what do you call it, stitch and purl and things like that, but she doesn't miss a... A what?
In German it came up.
Well, say it.
Eine Masche.
Eine Masche. What's eine Masche? Knit and purl and...
Knitting from... Putting the... Taking the thread through the...
Through the needle's head, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's another thing. That's another thing. But, you see, these are all fun things. Life should be filled with fun. Now, I would like to have all of you listen again to what Anita said she does when she goes to bed in the evening. The first thing she does is to lay down flat on the floor on her belly. Of course, she doesn't have any belly, so it's no problem. And she lays flat on the floor, and she takes out her blessing book, and she starts to write in it. She writes the blessings of the day. And after she has finished writing the blessings of the day, whoops, I forgot one. She takes the book back out and puts down the one she forgets. If she wakes up in the middle of the night, she remembers one that she forgot, she writes it down right away. Then, when it's time to go to sleep, her mind is clear because she has organized the blessings of the day. And that's the only thing, all the blessings of the day. And then, when it's time to go to sleep, she goes zonk. And when it's time to wake up, she goes, and there is no in-between time. There is no waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or get a drink of water. There's no waking up in the middle of the night with the nightmares or concerns about responsibilities that you haven't taken care of, because she has organized it. It's an incomplete day that's finishing itself up in your dreams. Write it down. Write it down, even in just cryptic ways that you write it down. As I told you about the girl in love, that's a story. And I can say the girl in love, and you all know the full story. And so you can write in your blessing book, your cryptic statements, which say the whole thing. But you can do it. You can do anything. And then you will have a perfect night's sleep every time. Now, we can go down and buy some sleeping pills for you. I can go down and buy some rubber mallet hammers that you can hit yourself on the head with, like, put yourself to sleep. You know, or we can stick your head in a bucket of water and hold it there so you can go to sleep. But the thing is, those are not successful ways of doing it. You want to have a tomorrow. And so one of the best ways to put yourself asleep at night is to disrobe yourself of all of the concerns of the day. And you disrobe yourself of all the concerns of the day by writing in your blessing book. Writing all the things that thrilled you the day. And there may be a lot and there may be a little. Maybe it'll take you an hour to write it all down. Hey, that's an hour of my sleep time. Yes, but then your sleep time will be solid. It'll be fantastic. It'll be without disturbance. You will sleep in deep sleep throughout your sleep time. And you'll be very happy and wide awake and alert when you wake up in the morning. You'll jump right off of the floor. You'll jump right up. You'll stand up and you'll stretch like the kitten stretch and wiggle your back around and just feel so wonderful. And then you'll say, golly, I'm glad I woke up 5 minutes early. I'm going to take a run around the block. And zip, you go around the block like Superman. And if you go around backwards 5 times like Superman, then you got more time. And then you maybe even made a day or so for your extra. But have fun. Hey, well, Herb, that's kind of silly talking about Superman running backwards around and making up time. Hey, if I can think the thought, it's possible. If you can think the thought, it's possible. Don't belittle yourself. Don't belittle your ability to think silly thoughts. As long as there is something that is fantastic. If it's a silly thought that's going to get you nowhere, well then, discard it. Put your concentration on things that are exciting, things that are wonderful, things that are uplifting, things that are revealing, things that open your doorway of your inner heart to the I can, I can, I can. Remember the little train, I think I can, 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 as he's working his way up over the mountain, and then he comes to the top, and he starts going down, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can, as he goes flying down the other side of the mountain. But think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. You can do anything. There's nothing on the face of this earth that should be beyond your ability to do. Everything is within your ken to do. It's within your ability to do. Do it. Dream your wildest dream. Look at magic in the face and say, I think you're a beautiful cat. No, look at magic in the face and that we have a cat named Magic. Look at magic in the face and says, yes, that's my cup of tea. That's the way I like to respond. I have the charisma of magic. When I get up before an audience, they're all in a hushed silence, not knowing who I am or what I am or what I'm going to say or how I'm going to say it. And then when I open my mouth, they say, wow. And they wake up and they realize it's time to get going again. Be magic in all you do. Wake up to the wonderful world around you. You're not living for anybody else, but just for yourself. So like what you say, like what you do, like what you are, because you can do it, and you're magic. A winner only knows what he can do. A winner only knows what he can do. A winner only knows what he can do, and you're a winner under every circumstance. Because you can do.